Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah!
It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
And another thing, Hogan.
Not anymore.
It's the Cultaholic Classic Nitro Review, now in glorious Technicolor.
Yes.
This is where we watch every episode of Nitro from the very beginning to its bitter end, or ours. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, RIP. Steve Wright in the afternoon, Tom Campbell, and I am with WCW kid extraordinaire, the glorious, the gorgeous, the ever-fragrant Sam Driver.
All right.
Wearing a nice rugby top today, sir.
Yes, it's very nice.
I like it. So it's like you're off to go and have a scrum when we finish.
Come on, lock up right now. I'm buying new clothes at the minute. I'm in the process of, like, you know when you've got, like, tried and true, reliable clothes, but you're looking at them and it's like, guys, it's been, like, 4 years now. Mm. And you've got to sort of put it out back. You got to kind of put two in the back of that old T-shirt's head. You got to bag it up and put it in a bag on your front door and wait for somebody to come by and collect it.
Oh.
But it'll have a second life, you know?
Yeah. Do you do the Marie Kondo thing when you took out clothes and you say thank you as you throw
No,
them out?
But I probably should. I'm like, I've got a lot of, I've always had, like, animistic beliefs as a kid. So it's like, you know, like you don't play with one toy over the other toys for any amount of time extra because the other toys will feel upset about it.
Is that what the term is? Animistic?
So if you're an animist, I think you sort of believe that there's life in everything. So
yeah.
This table has life in it. That tripod has life in it. So it's sort of like I don't fully believe it, but as a kid, I was always just like, like, things have souls.
I think I'm a bit like that, which is why I'm intrigued by that word.
You see a lot of it in like Far Eastern cultures. Japan especially has a lot of animism. If you go back into its folklore, things like that. It's really interesting. But yeah, like, I think it leads to you treating things with a lot more respect that you own. If you believe that it's kind of got a bit of a life to it.
We had a whole bunch of cuddly toys at our place that...
They do feel like you're old yellering when you're getting rid of toys.
But I didn't throw them out. I took them to a nearby charity shop.
Oh, even better.
So what happens is, but they put most of them in the window.
Yeah.
So whenever I go to go past that shop, I always do a little update, little check-in to see how they're doing.
They just got their hand on the window being like, take us out of here. You don't understand what they're doing to us.
They put pens in us. But every time I go back, maybe one of them is gone. So I'm like, it's gone to find a new home.
Yeah.
So I like that there's a word for it.
Yes, animism.
Animism.
It's not like solipsism, which is what I usually talk about, which is like, you're just a brain in a jar. Animism's actually quite nice.
Everyone's a brain. Everything is a brain in a jar.
Everything has a brain in a jar linked to it somewhere in the distant future.
I did something quite scary this week, which I've talked about, I think, already. I enrolled in the Great North Run.
Oh, big boy decision.
Big boy decision. I'm doing the Great North Run in September.
So I always wanted to do it before I was 30, but now I'm going to do it before I'm 40.
Well, I'm going to do it while I am 40.
You do it while you are 40. But it's like the level of training. And you've got to do qualifier races and stuff, don't you?
No.
Do you not?
No.
I thought you had to do a qualifier race to get in to show that you could post a time of... All right.
Just do it. Just sign up. Do it. Nice. Good luck. So, because
if they won't give me a number, I'll jump that fucking barricade and I'll do it myself and I'll steal one of the prizes.
Do
the,
that.
The
medal.
That's the word.
So what you do is
the Olympic prizes
with the Great North Run, because the place is so fought after.
Yes.
You go into a ballot And it costs like 60 quid if you get in to do the Great North Run. But then you get an email to say whether you were successful or not. And I got an email back on Monday to say you were unsuccessful this time. Mm. And I went, no, I wanted to do it. So I looked
do
online.
Do you know who I am?
So, yeah, because in a way I thought I'd be relieved. But I went, actually, no, I want to do it. Because I thought I'd be relieved of seeing like, oh, I'm not. Yeah. I didn't mean like, as in like, who do you think I am?
No.
It's more a case I thought, well, I've applied. They'll say no, and it's fine. And when the no came back, I went,
do you know how many social media posts I'll do about?
Do you know how much social coverage you'll get? So I said no. But then it turns out, and this is a nice little tip if you want to do it. You can buy a charity place. So you can run, so there's a list online of all the charities that have bought Great North Run places, and it costs less, but you have to raise X amount of money for charity in order to do it. So I'm running for the campaign against living miserably. I'm running for Calm. And so I've got a page set up. If you want to see it, it's all at Tom Campbell. I'm raising X amount of money, and I signed up, and it's like, all right, I guess I'm doing the Great North Run. Away we go.
That's some big boy shit, that.
Big boy shit.
Big boy shit.
It's 7 months to get into running shape.
It's a half marathon.
Half marathon.
So what, 13.1
miles.
1 miles.
It's terrifying. And but you know what? I was scared of turning 40. And I turned 40 and I'm fine.
I'll be at the finish line with some chips or something. Thanks, just mate. Waving you on. So thanks, you finish at the seaside. Go for a swim in the freezing cold water.
That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
But also, obviously,
build a big Tom out of sand with all the Cultaholic fans.
Oh, that'd be nice. Because it happens in September, and then 2 months later, I get married. So in my head, I'm going, well, this is a good excuse to get into shape.
Fitness goal.
Fitness
and then
goal.
Keep that going through to the wedding and start a new healthy life.
Got a nice, healthy life, healthy wife, healthy life. So that's the year. Bricking it. But here we go.
I'm doing it. I'm trying fasting this week.
Oh, how's that working for you?
So far, this is my first full day of it, and it's all right. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like I don't really eat a lot through the day anyway. So it's just going to be a case of get in, make a big sensible tea that takes an hour to make or something. Make a sensible tea, waste all that time, eat the food, enjoy the deliciousness, and then do some bicep curls or something and don't just sit on the couch.
Right. So you use the energy.
It's like, let's just do something that isn't just going to be me sitting on the couch for an extra hour. Just because unless I'm playing Yakuza or something, like a dragon or something, then I can just give all of my attention to that, and I can just wither away into a husk of myself on the couch till 3 a.m. without getting distracted, because the infinite wealth is oh my god, it's amazing. So, but I'm doing intermittent fasting, but I'm buzzing for that, mate. Fucking Great North Run, that's huge.
Bless you, mate. Thank you.
I'm excited. You're gonna be my test. To see how
am
this
I?
Goes.
Am I? You're Andrew Martin.
Because it's like, you're being local, you always kind of joke about doing it, or I want to do it before I hit X age. You're going to do it. Are you going to do couch to 5K and all that stuff?
Yes. So the plan is that I will do couch to 5K. Because I've done it before. I've done a couch to 5K. So I've got something to build on.
Yeah.
But I think that's what I'm basically going to spend the next few months doing, is getting back into the rhythm of that.
How are you dressing?
I was thinking just in a mankini.
Well, I was going to say, mankini probably do you all right, because it'd be less bleedy nips.
Less bleedy nips.
Bleedy nips are going to be your worst enemy. You probably go get some pedicures, because my brother runs and your feet get fucking mangled. So he has to get pedicures.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
Do they just get chewed up?
He's like, just make sure your nails are all taken care of properly.
I never even thought about the nips.
Because it's like your nipples are going to bleed like hell, but your toes, if your nails are prone to get sharp or anything, you've got to just make sure they're filed properly and everything.
Never thought of the nips.
Yeah.
That's a worry. That's something we'll think about.
Well, you don't really need much. You just need some tape. Get some pasties.
Ooh.
But you should do something in front of one of the cameras, though, because I mean, everybody's going to be watching now going, where's Tom Campbell? But it'll just be a sea of people going over the Tyne Bridge, or running up past the garage in Gateshead or wherever, and just sort of just a sea of people.
We'll have to wear something.
Unless you jump in during the pro runner section and just refuse.
Just get in there with the pros.
Push over a pro or something and be like, oi. Or you do the thing the guy did where he, it was 2 years ago now. I don't know if it's happened since, but it happens every now and then. You'll see the race start and there's the fucking just mass of humanity.
Oh, God.
It's the world's biggest music festival. It's just one big line as far as the eye can see at the horizon of people.
And then the gun goes, and it'll be some local celebrities. Just bang!
The Alan
and
Robson.
Then this guy just fucking pelted as far as he could, as fast as he could, just absolutely expended himself to get about 100 meters down ahead of everybody else, and then just fucking like collapsed into a heap and picked himself slowly up as everybody else kept going past him. But that guy always sticks in my brain. He's a fucking legend.
What a guy.
Like, he's just sprinting out of the block.
So I should do that, just top speed.
Or just like grab one of the cameras and get right in it, right in it. And then it just shout something ridiculous, then they'll have to show you on the news.
All good tips.
Good ridiculous, though. Good ridiculous tips. You don't want to be like, 5G! They're going to cut you really quick. You've got to lean in there with something nice and BBC approved.
The government is bees!
And then jump in and tell them that, yes, the government's bees and Randy Savage doesn't exist.
Well, the handy thing is, obviously, because I've got inroads at the BBC, so I can just say, I'll be like,
hello!
I'll probably end up doing the show before I start.
Do the show as you go.
I'll do Radio Newcastle in the morning.
They should have a little station set up at like each mile.
I'm fine.
Sure they have the budget for that.
There's on Metro. This is the home of Stephen Cowan.
Yes,
and Steve Fennell, for a long time, did a breakfast show before he did the Great North Run from his house as he was getting ready for it. And then they do the rest of the day shows on like the start line and the finish line. I was like, I love that shit.
I've just eaten my 14th banana. Last night I ate 7 kilos of pasta. I don't feel like I can run today.
I am pissing potassium and shitting
you should,
noodles.
You should get Hardest Geezer on. He's still running the length of Africa and it's unbelievably inspiring. But like he boshes out like 2 marathons a day. And it's like, it's fucking insane because the amount of people that turn up and they're like good runners and they try and run with him for like a day and they're just fucked. Legend. And he's just like halfway through his day, just milling along.
Bloody like, hell.
Get him watched because he's unreal. Same for everybody. Just check out Hardest Geezer.
Hardest Geezer.
He's one of the few people I throw money to.
Oh, really?
Online,
literally.
Fucking prick. He's one of the, like, I move around in Patreon circles, but he's one of the only ones that kind of stayed.
You always give
a
some
donation to, yeah.
Oh, I want to check him out now.
Definitely.
But we need to right now check out.
Do we have to?
We do. We
Great
have to go
North
back
run.
To 1996.
Great Alaskan Nitro. Alaskan? Arizona Nitro.
Great Arizona Nitro.
Arizonian Nitro.
That's where we're at this week.
Arizonicus.
October, nice. October 28th, 1996. The weekend before this show, rather,
yes.
Two TV shows debuted.
Mm-hmm.
The Crocodile Hunter, starring Steve Irwin.
What a fucking show.
What a guy.
Like, nobody will understand. Nobody will ever understand. The joy, the simple pleasure of watching a fucking Australian bloke dive out of a boat, grab hold of a fucking crocodile in the mud, and then just wrestle it.
Yep.
And then be like, look at its teeth. Its teeth are fucking massive. And then stick his head in, be like, way, what a wanker. Just sticking his whole arm down its throat. Like, he
just wound up crocodiles.
When we'd get fucking educational tapes and stuff from car boot sales, like, or dad would come in with like a load of tapes, you'd pray that whenever it was like a fucking wildlife one, you would pray it was Steve Irwin. Mm. And whenever it was just like, we're going to watch this 7 times today.
His whole thing was just jumping on animals and just going, whoa, look at this bugger, isn't he great?
But it was all from a place of love.
All from a place
all
of
from
love.
All from a place of love and interest. Like he'd pick up as much of a crocodile as he could if it was huge. He would manhandle it, yeah. He'd be climbing all over it and holding its mouth shut. But he's showing you the scales. He's showing you it all like in person, whereas you just have usually some dry, mealy mouth BBC presenter called David Attenborough going, look over there at that crocodile. Watch it eat this thing. And you've seen it 1,000 times. Steve Irwin should still be fucking here today.
But he's not because it was a jellyfish.
It was a stingray.
It was a stingray.
A barb caught him.
Yeah, caught. And do you know what? With love to Steve Ray, you know, a man who famously with love bothered animals.
Yes.
Of course, an animal finished him off.
Well, yeah,
of course.
It felt like it was one of those inevitabilities.
Yes.
But, it still. I think it's one of those weird things where it's like people will be saying this about Mythbusters and there's plenty of shows about it where it's like, oh, it's just a massive part of my childhood.
Yeah.
And like you just think of it fondly. Like you think of it when you think back to like, you know, fucking SMTV for me is always like the highest point of kids' TV. Anybody outside of the UK is not going to fucking clue. We'll find it on YouTube and be like, I don't understand any of this. But like Wonky Donkey every week until they went fucking insane. Amazing.
Amazing. The other debut on TV this weekend was Pop-Up Video on VH1.
Ah!
So this is where they had music videos annotated by like pop-up bubbles that gave facts and little info nuggets about the show. A bit
Bruce
like
Springsteen wasn't really born in the USA, hailing from Birmingham, England. Shit like that.
Oh no, I don't know Springsteen. We knew it. It was created by Woody Thompson and Tad Lowe and premiered Tad Lowe.
Thaddeus. Oh, Tad is such a name.
Tad Lowe. And it was highest rated program on VH1
for 2 years. Tad has a friend called Bodie that definitely serves. Both of them definitely serve. But yeah, it's no surprise. Like, it would go on to, as a format, that would dominate. I mean, it still dominates TV to a certain extent, doesn't it? We still got Top of the Pops too.
It's just about
like there was a whole point where I think MTV2 would just drop random facts and shit on screen while a music video. It just became like a thing. Like a thing.
Very much like Triple Jump's worst games ever. Same format. Command and Conquer Red Alert is released this week.
Oh, what a game.
Real-time strategy from the C&C franchise, developed at Westwood Studios in 1996.
It's been too long. I might have to go home and get that. But I fell into this trap with Worms the other week.
Oh, what a game.
The other week, fucking the week before Christmas, we went to the Grove I can't remember what, like, we were nipping in because my mate, like, he works the bar there. But I think he needed a nip in to check his shift or whatever. And because it was a dead night, like, Jack, who was behind the bar, was like, it was Charlie. Charlie was like, should we just play a game of Worms Armageddon? And so we played Worms Armageddon on the TV, and it was the greatest thing ever. Wow. And I've just went back and bought all the Worms games and fallen through that. And then there's new Yakuza. And then I found a game called The Case of the Golden Idol. And I'm obsessed with that. And I think you need to try that because you'll love it.
Is it point and click?
Yes. Nice. But it's like point and click, solve the crime.
Ooh.
Yeah. But it's all like old ass, like proper classic point and click graphics as well. And it's got an element of like, what do you call it to it? Where you... You give it's an American thing that Americans do where you give like a descriptive word and then they write it down and then they ask you for another word and you write it down. It turns into a stupid story.
It'd be like the name of a person. Yeah, you roll all the paper up and then you, at the end you've got a funny story.
It's sort of like that. You've got to get things in the right place as you're kind of discovering clues.
I like that. I remember it dawned on me as we were talking there that escape rooms are just real-life point-and-click games.
They are, and I love point-and-click, but I am also inherently very stupid. I am incredibly slow. I'm usually the last person to catch a joke. I'm usually, like, I'll be sitting there kind of going, right, and everybody's, like, cottoned onto something, and I'm just like, it's just a... straight past me. So it's like, I really want to do, because I've never done an escape room, really want to do an escape room. But I like, I know people that are like, oh yeah, I've done escape rooms alone. And it's like, that's like baller as fuck. Just walk in there and be like, this, confident as fuck, just doing it. But like, I kind of want to try it at some point.
We should do an escape room.
We should do.
I'm up for doing an escape room. Number one in the UK charts is Spice Girls' Say You'll Be There. Still there.
It's not the best one, though, is it?
Nah, it's not.
Say You'll Be There. Say the other one will be there.
It was gonna be their first single, and then they went, nah, wanna be.
Yeah, how can you like be sat there with these two fucking songs, and just be like, wanna be shouldn't be the first single. Like who?
Mad in it.
Was on that team. They surely like it'll be like that person went on to discover Prince, and if like Prince was a thing, way before here.
Number one in the US charts, still Macarena. But in my notes, I've written Marinara. So I must have been thinking about Jim Dugaroni pizza at the time. Marinara. Number one in the US box office is still Sleepers.
It's got to be a parody of that called Marinara.
Hey, Marinara.
And it's all about making a pizza, starring Jim Dugaroni pizza.
Sleepers still number one in the US box office. Number one in the UK box office is Dragonheart.
Dragonheart is a fucking great movie.
I'm glad you know what Dragonheart
is. Oh my God, Dragonheart's a great film. Is that, that's the one with fucking Gerard Butler, right?
Yes, and Sean Connery.
When it's Gerard Butler's first run at being like an action star. it's bizarre.
The young, sickly king barely ages. It's the story of a young king who befriends a dragon played by Sean Connery. And a dragon slayer encounters Draco. The two team up form a traveling duo that perform an act, but the act is only known by themselves. So basically they'll go to towns and go, I'll slay your dragon for you.
Yeah.
But it's him and the dragon in on it together. It's basically Shark Tale.
Wait, no, this isn't the one I'm thinking of, but it is also a good film. The one I'm thinking of is like Dragons in Modern Day London. And no, I'm sure that's like,
I
like,
don't think, hang on.
Hold on. I swear there was one where it was like dragon.
No, this is King, the evil King Einan.
Dragon.
It's a dragon heart. Film.
Dragonheart. Shouldn't it? It's a Dragonheart.
Dragonheart.
1996.
It's the one where they teamed up. It's Shark Tale, where Will Smith.
Reign of Fire was the one I was.
No, thinking, bloody
which
hell.
Which is Christian Bale. And that one's an absolute fucking mental film. I think, anyway, hold on. Reign of Fire.
On the Cultaholic Classic Dragon review, we will talk more about these.
It might be this. Yeah, like Reign of Fire.
Yeah, it's like
it might be the one you're thinking
Matthew
of.
Matthew McConaughey, Christian Bale. That one fucking slaps.
Might be the one you're thinking
and then,
of.
But no, I remember that because I had a Dragonheart shirt with the... It had red sleeves. It was like a baseball one. Oh. And it had that poster on the front. With the actors' names, weirdly.
Or the Moyena? Yeah. I hope you haven't thrown that out.
The perks of my dad's best friend being a cinema general manager. I got fucking... When the first Pokemon movie got... I've still got a box like this big of all the Pokemon promo cards. Like, really? Sealed. Fucking, like, all the ones with the Pokemon the first movie gold leaf, like, stamp. No idea how much that shit's worth. I've got about, like, 50 mint condition Ancient Mews. I've got, like, just loads of these fucking... They're just sat in a
gold
box.
Mine.
I've got about 200 cinema posters. They're, like, one sheet and quad size. I need to get them. So, anybody wants a Twilight poster?
Oh, I don't think anyone would.
600-700 quid. That'd be great.
Easy.
There's got to be a Debbie out there that likes Twilight.
There's at least three women that listen to this.
Yeah.
At least three. Hello to all three of you. From the Wrestling Observer, let's go to the boring world of wrestling. Hulk Hogan has signed a 3-year deal with WCW.
No surprise there.
He did so just a few days before Halloween Havoc, spurning a supposed 5-year offer from the WWF that may or may not have been bullshine. He was claiming to have had received a monstrous offer from the WWF, $5 million per year. So WCW topped that and said, come on in. Now, according to Hogan... Which is, you know, it's going to be a great sentence when it starts with, according to Hulk Hogan. But according to Hulk Hogan, Vince had said to him, $5 million a year, we're not going to tell anyone that you're coming in, and in 1997, you're winning the Royal Rumble. That was what Hogan was told.
It's 4 years, Terry. Everybody's forgotten about the scandal. Let's get you back in. Come on. That's how it works. We, you know, all these little guys with no muscle definition, get on the gas, Terry.
Get them on the gas.
You're coming in, you're throwing them all out of the rumble. We're going back to the 80s.
However, the only difference was, according to Hogan, that WWF wanted to bring him in as a heel.
Well, he is the star of the 90s. He does later go on to say that this episode. He is the star of the 1990s.
He goes better. He says he's the John Wayne of the 1990s.
Which, I mean, he does walk like twice. He's just come off a horse. But so does your local Raji. You know, they look like they're carrying two invisible carpets as well.
So did I before I took that hemorrhoid cream. The future, however,
sitting like John Wayne on the horse, you're just standing like this in any seat you're in. You're not quite touching the
get
ground.
Off your horse and hand me that cushion. The future of Randy Savage, however, in WCW is questionable.
Sorry,
it's all right.
My brain flashed to Tex from fucking Alan Partridge there when you were talking. A little curly whirly Cumberland sausage from the little shit. Fucking oh man,
stick it on the tab. Yeah, put it on the slate.
It tastes like fizzy Benelin.
It's fizzy Benelin.
I love it's season three. We're getting more Alan Partridge.
I love America. I love Wayne. What Wayne sleep?
Oh, Jesus Christ. And then before that, you had it looks like a mouse's head.
Oh, anyway.
He picks him off with the fucking Kit Kat. And then he picks it up and leaves and eats
it. God bless Alan Partridge. WCW and Savage have not agreed on a new deal. Savage and Bischoff spent hours hammering things out throughout the week, putting together a deal that Savage would be happy with, but he's still not quite there yet. It looks like he might be wrapping up around after Halloween Havoc. His negotiating leverage with WCW was greatly reduced when Hogan re-signed. Savage himself has some name value, says Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer. No shit, Sherlock. But the idea of Hogan leaving with Savage to the WWF and continuing their program they started in WCW would would have been a huge temporary blow to the company. There was a school of thought that thought that both Hogan and Savage would go back to the WWF and do Hogan Savage at WrestleMania next year. But that's not happening because Hogan has decided in his infinite wisdom to stay in WCW.
Could you imagine how fucked the entire industry would be if that was the case?
Well, it would have been that instead of Undertaker Sid.
I don't think you can possibly keep Hogan heel under Vince, because even when Vince brought Hogan in as a heel, as part of the end with the NWO rapper, he goes face again almost immediately. You've then got what, Hogan without the NWO? Hogan just being a bad guy?
Just being a Hollywood dick, maybe Hollywood Rock before Hollywood Rock.
Or maybe he takes over DX.
There wasn't DX yet.
Well, maybe he's the leader of DX.
Oh, so DX is born
out of Hulk Hogan.
So Hogan comes in to lead the clique.
I mean, it would be a formidable political power.
It would be a hilarious formidable
Hogan power. Hogan and Sonny, Hogan and Brett.
I don't think
Hogan and Michaels.
I'm beginning to see why Hogan would be a great heel on his own, because I'm thinking he wouldn't work with any of them. They all think he's a dickhead. Yeah. Like, actually, yeah, Hogan is a heel on his own. I think Hollywood Hogan coming in going, oh, I'm too big for this place. The Hogan that we saw...
But that's dead in the water. That's been dead in the water since the end of the pay-per-view.
Nah, mate. The Hogan that we saw a glimpse of at that press conference in Japan in 1994.
Right, okay.
Where he went, this WWF title, it's a trinket, it's a toy.
Oh, yes.
That on telly.
Oh, now that'd be good.
That on telly.
This is worthless shit.
This is shit, this is.
This is fucking
amazing.
Wank.
Like, and you've almost
it's not
got
even
like
a real belt.
Like a Roman Reigns-esque thing where you hardly see him.
Oh, I'm the champion
the
of a company.
Ooh. Just, every time you see him, he's just taking the piss out of the belt. That would be great money. Okay, let's talk about Roddy Piper. So he turned up and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked at the end of Halloween
Havoc.
Played
them off.
He did certainly play them off keyboard, Cat. The Wrestling Observer says Piper's deal details aren't available, other than it was a deal for a combination of doing movies with TNT and appearing on WCW television events and probably a couple of wrestling matches. Piper's largely been retired from pro wrestling. He's 45 at this point. He's gotten steady work doing straight-to-video action movies over the past few years and has been in serious negotiation with WCW for several weeks. The deal was thought to have been finalized just 2 days before Halloween Havoc. Negotiations with Piper were going on at the same time as negotiations with Bret Hart. And when WCW didn't get Bret Hart in a wooing battle with the WWF, it meant they sort of laser focused on Piper, and consequently, he is in.
And Bret got a 20-year deal out of it that gets honored, so you know.
Totally gets honored. Absolutely gets honored. Storylines in the future will be built around Hogan and Piper and the personal issues that they have had going on underneath. Many within WCW see Piper as something of a replacement for Randy Savage, whose contract is expiring in a few weeks, as we've just been discussing, and he still hasn't signed. Savage's loss to Hogan was positioned that, if need be, it could write Savage out and just replace him with Piper.
Which... it kind of works.
Yeah, you were swapping a legend for another legend.
Yeah.
A less mobile legend, but a legend nonetheless.
Yeah, but a legend who can probably, you know, I don't think anybody's going to say that Roddy Piper can't talk circles around Savage, because, I mean, he just can. So I think when what you lose with in-ring, you gain very much with, you know, on the mic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
His in-ring style has definitely changed considerably from the style it once was, which we'll get to when we start seeing them go back and forth. But the show starts off with Larry actually mentioning this, that Piper's track record eclipses Hogan's in Hollywood, and by late 1996, he has appeared in two big popular films, Hell Comes to Frogtown and John Carpenter's They Live, which obviously go on to be two of the most kind of cult classic films of their ilk of the 80s. And at this point, he's either shot it already because he has short hair in the film, or he's about to shoot it. It comes out December of 1996, so you want to hope they've shot it by now, because if not, fucking hell. It is Psi Fighters. So in the grim darkness of the far future, there is only war. Tom, think about that for a second.
Only war.
2009.
Is there crisps?
Yes.
Okay, war and crisps.
2009, Boston.
Detective Cameron Grayson, a renegade cop with a black shield, is hot on the trail of Adrian Dunn, his ex-partner and wife's murderer, who's escaped from prison on the moon with a deadly alien virus in his possession. Grayson needs to stop Dunn before the virus overrides the planet, and you should probably put on the trailer now because it is an absolute shit
fucking
fest.
Yes!
Find it, Sci-Fighters, 1996. Splicey, just watch splicey. The trailer because that's Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, superstar. Shall we try and find the trailer?
Yes, let's do the trailer.
I'm going to find the trailer.
Because it's like it's proof that even though 80s and 90s shitfest films were shitfests, they are infinitely better than modern shitfests because they are so poor at the time, they have to rely on physical set pieces. So it might not be the best, biggest explosion, but it's physical. It might not be... That's the top one's the one you need. Oh, my God.
Sci-fighters. So if I do this...
It should.
There we go.
No, it doesn't want to play ball.
So what you need to do is change this to this.
That one. There we go.
Beautiful. Right, Sci-fighters.
It'll start immediately, so you need to pause it.
I want to hear it as well.
Yeah, you need to hear it.
I hear it? Hang on. There we go. Right, okay. Sci-fighters. Okay, Treebore Entertainment.
In the tradition of Alien. And Blade Runner, all one word. Sci-fighters.
They're on the moon.
No, they're on Earth. Told you he had a black shield. And he's a renegade.
What a renegade. This looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. It's like a really shit Demolition Man.
Well, there's graves in the future. They're just like pools of water. Was he a zombie?
Well, he put more lead in them than any cop ever has anybody in their entire career, and he's still alive.
Oh, it's the virus, isn't it?
Yeah.
There it is.
There it is. Wrapping around a cell.
He's a shining wizard.
Probably.
Nice. They show that clip twice.
So good, they show it twice.
Sci-fighters. Wow. Well, lad, I am all in on Sci-fighters. That looks amazing! And I love that it's set in 2009.
Oh, yeah. That's my in Boston, part. Of all places.
Oh, hang on, there's YouTube adverts playing now.
Stop that.
Don't skip them ever, thank you.
Oh, there's a game called Sci-Fighters, but it's not related to
the film. Rubbish.
Pathetic.
Rubbish.
Whoever owns Sci-Fi should sue them.
I love that it's... Did it come out?
1996, December.
It must have come, so it did.
Yeah, so it's out. It's available. I think it was a film as well. I don't think it went straight to DVD. I'm not sure.
I'm going to see if I can find VHS a version online that we can watch.
Well, I kind of want to cover shitfest wrestling films.
Yeah, me too.
Really badly.
Well, Ross and I did something during lockdown where we did Tom and Ross at the movies, where it was, and I believe we got we had Alison Pregler from Movie Nights on. We watched No Holds Barred together.
I think there's so many like No Holds Barred that are big, right? At the end, there's the obvious ones like Pro Wrestlers versus Zombies. I want to look at the shit fest films.
Yeah,
I want to look at like the B movies that star a wrestler who can't act in the lead role. I want that stuff. Even Sci-Fighters is probably a step too far, but it's so ridiculous that we're going to include it.
That sounds good. So Piper's been a busy boy, and part of his return is to make movies like Sci-Fighters.
Which, what a fucking film.
Thank you for the research on that. I am over the moon that that's what 2009 looks like.
Sci-Fighters.
Can't wait till 2009. It's going to be an amazing year.
It's like you remember being in first school and they were like, now draw what it's going to look like. Earth's going to look like in 10 years. You got flying cars. Fucking flying cars.
We're that generation, you and I, probably me a little bit more so. Yeah. that had those grand ideas of what 2005 would look like.
Oh, we got fucking lied to.
And we're fucking disappointed.
The entire thing, like the entire marketing of the year 2000 was insane. Like, it's really hard to talk to anybody about it that wasn't, you know, at least born in the early 90s, because you've got to remember like the marketing. So like Action Man, right? They'd do an Action Man Space Guy that year, but they'd also release one that was all silvery chrome, and it would be like the Action Man Space Satellite Star 5000, 2000. And they just whacked 2000 at the end of its name, and that immediately made it more buyable. Mine came with an Action Man Silver Watch.
Nice.
Which was an Action Man 2000, but it had 2000 on it. So you knew it was the Millennium Edition, not one of the poor people editions. So it was like everything was marketed like the Millennium's going to be this huge thing. 2000 is like the changing of the world. It's Jesus' 2000th birthday, everybody. Get crazy. And it was just like, what the fuck? And then you get to 2000, January 1st, and it's like, oh, everything's exactly the same.
It's all fine and boring, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fine and boring. Great.
Computers didn't crash. Global economics is still afloat somehow. You know, tinfoil, they weren't right. The future populist happy people, they weren't right. We're just in a recession.
That's right.
A permanent recession.
We did get air fryers.
We did get air fryers, and we did have Mr. Frosty. So we've ran the gamut of extreme temperatures here for home appliances.
The gamut of extreme temperatures in appliances.
They had to stop making Mr. Frosty.
Air fryer.
They had to stop making Mr. Frosty after, like, I don't know, it came with a knife in it once. And a kid ate a knife lollipop.
We should just stop making stupid
Bloody
kids.
Health and safety run amok. Can't even have Mr. Frosty anymore. It's England. What is it?
What's wrong? I had a knife in my Mr. Frosty. I was fine.
It's probably too cold for them globalists, Mr. Frosty. They want Mr. Warm Liquid instead.
Yeah, can't call him Mr.
No.
Anyway.
I can't believe this is the world we live in now, is this fucking ridiculous. Can somebody just put the gammon and like on a barge and just kick them out? Maybe they could populate the undercard of the Pro Wrestling at Sea idea.
Maybe they could.
Did you vote for Brexit? Do you want sunny uplands? Get on this boat. We'll take you to some sunny uplands. Or we leave them all one by one on the windmills.
Oh, the turbines.
See the turbines, yeah.
We just leave them
got,
on
like
there.
A little island, and you can get inside. You just leave them on.
Leave them in the turbines.
Have your own little island. There you go. You can be as bigoted as you want there in you there. Go. See you later.
Sam Driver's wind turbine colonization idea is not endorsed by Cultaholic Wrestling. But his idea, copyright Sam Driver Incorporated. In wrestling news, in boring wrestling news.
Back to the real world.
Glacier is back in a couple of weeks.
I was about to say.
Speaking of cold.
Stay cool.
They're retooling him.
Already?
They've ordered more multicolored lights for his ring entrance.
Get in.
That's what Dave says. Dave Meltzer, the Observer, might have just been having a bit of fun at Glacier's expense there. But they are changing his routine up a little bit.
I'm going to chase him up on that. Tweet him. So were they actually ordering more lights, Dave, for Glacier's entrance here? Or were you just taking the piss out of that poor worker?
They were. I think they were.
Okay, you got receipts there, Dave? You going to show me where these lights come into play, Dave?
I got a wanking Mean Gene update.
You got a wanking Mean Gene update? Well, good, because Gene no-shows again this week.
He was scheduled to be back tonight.
I know he was scheduled to be back, but he's not here.
But neither side has still reached a contractual agreement. It is believed the deal with Oakland he has been offered is around $180,000 to work 5 days a month and one pay-per-view.
And would have no office. That. He'd disgusting. Have 5 days for 180 grand or something. Ridiculous.
They also don't want him to have any office or hotline duties, so it would just be 180,000.
Ah, see, Gene likes his hotline, though.
He loves his hotline.
Gene makes bank on that hotline.
So I reckon they're trying to get him away from the hotline,
yeah.
Have the hotline in-house,
yeah.
And then make the money from it in-house. That's kind of what they want. So Gene's like...
Where's the uproar here? This is the WWE Twitch account situation all over
it
again.
It is indeed.
Gene's promised a hotline. Why can't the WWE stars have hotlines?
Everyone's got their own fucking hotline. Guys,
imagine the queue for Rhea Ripley's hotline.
Oh, I'm at the front every day. They're doing a tournament from next week.
Right.
To crown a WCW Women's Champion.
Nice.
That's what it says here. From the Nitro on the 4th of November, the tournament will include Medusa.
Finally.
Chigusa Nagayo.
Yes.
Bull Nakano.
Mm-hmm.
Lilani Kai.
Mm-hmm.
Malia Hosaka.
Mm-hmm.
Kaoru. And Akira Hokuto.
Nice.
It's all right, that, isn't it?
Well, like, Medusa's come in. We've seen Medusa in some high-profile spots, but it does feel like she's just used as and when.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, yeah, bring her in. We've got something there we can do on this
Pop
show.
Her over there.
It's just sort of, there needs to be a division, especially given, you know, what Medusa's capable of at a time when WWE just isn't giving a shit. Like, it's a way to really highlight the fact WCW has, like, a very standout thing here in their women's division.
And that's what we're probably going to do next week. But let's focus on this week. Monday Nitro, October 28th, 1996. Tony Schiavone and Larry Zbysko are at ringside. Larry is wearing a Superman t-shirt under his suit jacket.
Super La.
We get a recap of Halloween Havoc and the return of Rowdy Roddy Piper that ran wildly over. But we are told that we will hear what Piper said when the show concluded later tonight.
So you're going to wait 2 hours to get there.
But that is what we are told will happen.
You've paid for the pay-per-view. 50 of your hard-earned American bucks or whatever in 1996, which is probably like a small car now. They have robbed you of a finish to that main event moment. You don't know whether they threw hands. You don't know what went on. And instead of just showing you at the top of the show and apologizing, you are going to watch 2 more hours of Nitro.
But we'll definitely show you.
But we're definitely going to show you it.
The opening match of the night is for the television title. Juventud Guerrera challenging the returning Lord Steven Regal.
Billy Regs.
He's back again from his extended world tour. Would you like to know how and where Regal went on the world tour?
Well, he's been at the gym because he's looking buff.
Looks fucking great. Yeah. Yeah, he's been working. This is Regal's world tour. Croydon. He beat Robbie Brookside.
Nice.
Bristol.
Lovely.
He beat Robbie Brookside.
Good lad.
Okayama, Japan.
Robbie Brookside.
He beat Satoshi Kojima.
Nice.
Nice.
Bread Club.
Tokyo. He lost to Shinya Hashimoto.
Nice.
Back to Bristol. He and Buffalo Brehaney defeated Ian Diamond and Jason Cross. Hanover, Germany. A double countout with Tony St. Clair for the Commonwealth Championship.
Delicious.
Koriyama. He and Dave Taylor defeated Osumi Kido and Osimu Nishimura.
Dave Taylor?
Dave
They're not Taylor. Friends anymore
they
on telly.
They are in Koriyama.
Well, this is ridiculous.
They're also part of the tag league there. Hamatsu lost to Keiji Muto and Rick Steiner.
Delicious.
And they're back here tonight.
Nice.
So
I like it.
Croydon, Bristol, Okayama, Tokyo, back to Bristol, Hanover, Koriyama, Hamatsu.
I was thinking here, why isn't Regal ever given an Austin Powers gimmick in the next year or so?
Oh, I mean,
given how much they lean into everything, why did they never get Regal to do the Yeah Baby Yeah?
That's a really good point, actually.
Do you reckon they went to him and he just went, you can stick it up your ass? Because I don't think he would, because he's up for like hilarious stuff, but it just wouldn't be funny, would it?
I feel like it
just wouldn't be funny. You've got to like let his natural humor come out.
My only fear is that I feel like that doesn't happen because the Austin Powers mania sort of crosses over with when Regal had a lot of his demons.
Oh, okay.
So he probably wasn't around
for the
but
time.
There is part of me that would that could see him
doing
both.
They eventually do a Mike Awesome where it's like you got the biggest wrecking machine on the planet, fat chick thriller, and it's just like right.
Yeah.
Like you really fucking gonna do that to Mike Awesome? Okay.
And they did, and we're going to watch it happen.
Yeah.
For reasons. Lord Steven Regal and Juventud Guerrera is our opening match. Sting is in the rafters watching on. The year-long build begins. Now,
he pissed off because Gene was supposed to be there, and that's how I know Gene was supposed to be there.
He was in position.
Sting is turning up, and he's basically waiting there for Gene to be man enough to show up and challenge him.
Man enough to get his lad out again.
Sting doesn't even have face paint on. That's how hard he's been preparing.
He has a bit of face paint.
No.
Oh, that's not face paint.
That's not face paint.
Well, that is a worry. If it's that color, I would probably...
It's caked. It's thick.
Oh, Christ. That's really thick if that's the case. I'd be seeking medical guidance.
It's the tool he's going to use to take down Gene.
He's going
to
drown him.
It's all
him.
Part of a strategy.
Fuck. drown him in his own.
But no, this is the build to possibly the definitive WCW storyline.
Now, when we remember this, it is, in my mind's eye, it is Sting stood looking surly, leather jacket,
big long leather jacket,
stoically stood over the barricade like this.
Music like that.
God save our gracious queen. Stood over there, but we're not at that point because we're still figuring this out.
Yeah.
So Sting is sat in the very top of the arena.
He's almost in the bleachers. He's up in the nosebleeds in like private seating.
He's sat like with his back all the way to the seat. He's got his legs up.
Yeah.
He's wearing like an FX Studios t-shirt.
FX Studios, animation special effects, Los Angeles. He's there for his mandated advertise this
and he's,
kid.
And he's got like some white face paint on. It's Crow-esque.
Yes.
But
it's very Crow. So this is the point where he's just doing the Crow shit, like fully from the film. Like it's very similar to the kind of diamond eyes from the Crow. It's just simple, straightforward. It doesn't have all the flourishes and extra touches to expect.
I feel like it needed the flourishes. Because,
oh, it does.
Because the way that he looks wearing it, he looks concerned.
Yeah.
Like he's just remembered he's left the oven on.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's just got like that thing where he's thinking, going like,
get this stuff.
No, seriously, because it's burning my fucking skin.
Sting, that's your jizz.
Oh, God. Where did I get this cum? Fucking.
Not today, Tom. I'm wearing a collar. Come on.
Sorry to all three women that listen. I shouldn't be talking about such things. It should be far more dainty. NWO banners arrive, and the crowd loves seeing NWO. And here's six in the crowd, welcoming us all to NWO Nitro.
Which causes that. It's not NWO Nitro.
I think you're fine. It's
actually called
WCW Nitro, you prick. That's what he says. Six tells Sting to make the right choice. It's NWO for life. For life.
It just does that forever.
For the whole
get
night.
People like, I always wanted to do that whenever we had Bullet Club over for fucking WCPW. Just Bullet Club. And just let it run for 5 minutes.
You'll get your time.
I don't get it. I would have got my head kicked in, to be honest.
I'll protect you. I'm up for doing it. We get a technical match between Regal and Hooven 2 to get us underway proper. Nice Rana, a nice drop kick from Hooven 2. A lovely bit of chain wrestling between these two. But it ends when Juventud misses a 450 and Regal takes full advantage by hopping to his feet, doing a little pugilistic shuffle with his fists, and then locking in the Regal stretch for the tap out win. Regal retains the WCW television title.
As expected. He's just been on a world tour that they kind of publicized a little bit, didn't they? Like, initially, when he first sort of took a leave. When you look at performers who can really carry a mid-card belt like that in the company at the time, there's a lot of faces, but I'd argue none of them would give it the oomph that someone like Regal would if they just let him stretch his legs. It feels like they're letting him do stuff like the World Tour and that, but very much back on TV, it's still, oh, he's posh English bloke, and it's like, just let him go with something.
Yeah.
Let him go with something, because you're going to, like, you see how committed he is to the crap that you're kind of making him do, which is like tried and true, great, okay, right? Everybody, every promotion's done the whole stuck-up English character. But at this point, it's all we've seen of him. The entire time I've been covering the podcast, it's like you can keep the kind of Britishness. You don't need to put him in a powder wig. Give him something different, right? I wanted to see maybe something new out of Regal returning here, but
yeah, I think it's kind of
we've still got the fallout of the Blue Bloods and stuff, though, haven't we? Which is sort of going on,
kind of, sort of in the background. Tony Schiavone on commentary talks about Sting being up in the rafters, and as he starts talking about Sting, Sting just quietly gets up and walks off.
Yeah, because he realised he's just being used as a pawn of the FX Studios Animation and Special Effects Company, Los Angeles, California.
But then, aren't we all? We then get an advert for the Faces of Fear and the Nitro shirts.
Yes.
So Faces of Fear are speaking. There are subtitles underneath. And apparently Barbarian says, take it from us, the Faces of Fear. These are trendy shirts. 100% cotton. And a reasonable price. Ha, 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 ha.
All you need is just Meng stood there going, buy the fucking shirt.
Or I will come round.
Or I will break you in half. Yes. I will. You like, it's 1996.
Have we had the famous Batman getting his back broken by Bane yet? That might be 97. I'm not sure. I'll do that to you. I'll fucking right over the knee. And then you'll have to get a replacement who goes mad given the responsibilities of the role that you're going to put on them. And then you've got to have to get back to being able to walk and take them down again. Why can't DC just make good films? Like they used to be able to make good comics.
Because The Rock turns up and goes, no, I need to be the best.
Black Adam didn't need to be a thing. Neither did Shazam. Just focus on Batman. Focus on Batman first. Superman's nearly impossible to get right, but just focus on Batman.
I'm obsessed with how they fucked up Black Adam.
I'm obsessed with how they fucking dropped the ball. Like, you got all the kids into Marvel. Kids hit about 18. That first bunch of Marvel kids that were about 13 when Iron Man 1 came out. They hit about 18. Punch them in the face with a fuck-off, massive, gnarly, violent Batman film. Just, wah. They're ready-made. Marvel caters for the younger audience. DC caters for the hardcore shit.
Like, Joker was great for that. Yeah. Like, Joker was a great example.
They've always got to try and make Superman. And it's like, it's great. One of the most iconic characters of all time. But, like, he can do everything. And Lex Luger is fucking Jesse Eisenberg.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why UnitedHealthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Was it Now You See Me? Have you seen Now You See Me?
No.
Terrible film. It's like, oh, we're here. We've got an Ocean's 11-style plan, but we're all magicians. It's like, great. Okay, good premise. They're in Vegas. They're going to fucking do a big heist on a casino or some shit. Unreal.
Oh, I have seen
great.
That.
Fantastic. Then they pull off this elaborate scheme at the end, and they don't show you how it's done because magic. And it's like, oh, so you just made shit happen. Just to make it happen. He just materialized inside the fucking vault. Okay, yeah.
Magic, mate. What are you talking about? Was Now You See Me a DC property?
No, what? Now You See Me was just a... Just a
are you just going general, off on one
just
about...
Just going off on one about bad films.
I did wonder how we went from talking about DC
to Superman to Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor to Now You See Me.
Right, yeah. There's the thread. I'll just pull it back through the cloth. But you're absolutely right in what you said, that the DC movies should be designed for when the Marvel kids get older.
Yeah.
They're waiting for you there.
But it's,
what Marvel did instead was grow up their films.
They did, but they're kind of a bit poo now.
See, I am desperately trying not to prescribe into the idea that they're a bit poo now. We just watched Infinity War and Endgame, Alex.
It'll be 20 years in 4 years' time since Iron Man 1.
Yeah, it's been a long
time. It's been a long time. And this is speaking as somebody who used to collect and buy comics weekly,
yeah.
Variants. It killed all of my love for that, destroyed it. And it was just like, I can't. Like, I'm so superheroed out. Just give me 5-10 years where I can get back into comics.
Yeah.
Make comics
we
good again.
We talked about this.
Make few, comics
we,
good
about
again.
About a year
please.
Ago, just I think we talked about this.
Stop
and you
them
said,
being shit.
Just have a little break, have a little breather.
One volume of fucking Demon Slayer outsold of the manga outsold the entire American comics market or something like a few years ago. It's like.
Don't say that too loud. They'll make a Demon Slayer movie.
Well, they've already made a couple, actually.
Well, they'll make
well,
another
they, one. They made, well, they, a couple. They made the Spirit.
They'll make another one with Chris Pratt.
Train one.
But
Chris Pratt can't do that. He's going to be the next Indiana Jones.
I forgot. And
John McClane and any other
Pepper
franchise
Pig.
You love. Yeah, he's going to be in it. He will play Optimus Prime in body paint. No need for CG. But he'll also play Shia LaBeouf's character in body paint as Shia LaBeouf.
Nice. Starring Sheila Booth as Chris Pratt. I will say, in defense of the Marvel films, before we get back to Nitro, boring, I know. When we watched Endgame, that scene where they all come through the portals.
Yeah.
I get goosebumps.
I'll go see the Avengers films probably each time they come out because I've seen them all. But I'm just kind of a bit like, well, yeah, I'll watch the Avengers ones, but I'm not watching the 11 lead-ins.
This is the thing.
I'm just going to quickly Google this, lads. And there's a post-credit sequence and it's like, right, it's a side character from an 80s. All right, here we go. Yep. Great, this is going to lead us into Fantastic Four, which is going to hit the floor about, 100 miles an hour for the third time.
The thing is with the new phase.
Do you remember that? Fan Four Stick.
It was a good effort.
Yeah.
The Deadpool Wolverine movie looks fun.
Yeah, but Deadpool exists in like a gallery of its own, right?
But they're kind of merging it into the cinematic universe.
Yeah, which I think will do a lot to bring people back toward it. Because obviously Deadpool, like that. But it's sort of like, oh, we got another Captain America. I'll be a bit like, what's it about this time? All right, maybe.
The thing they've done a lot with the latest phase is bring out series for Disney Plus. And my issue is that it means that a 2-hour film that moves the plot along has now become a 10-hour series.
But this is what they were talking about way ages ago when Sky Atlantic first became a thing, and it was like, television is about to become art. I can't explain how amazing it's going to be when you all finally see Game of Thrones. And everybody's like, yeah, whatever. Like, Sopranos already exists. The Wire already, oh shit, okay, we're going hard on TV now. Mm. So like, TV's become this huge thing to the point where I think if the movies stop, they'll just keep making Marvel TV shows.
Yeah.
But it's like, to what end, I guess?
I love the Loki, both Loki series. I love them. It's my genre, as Alex calls it. It's space admin.
Yeah.
And I love it. And it's my favorite genre because The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is my favorite film. So space admin. And it's 20 hours of space admin because it's 10 episodes and there's loads in it. And it's a time consuming effort.
It's only really Marvel and DC that I get pissed off at, though. It's like, I want more than anything for there to be more Dread. Or more things set in 2000 AD universes. Oh, like, God, if we could get to, like, fucking Rogue Trooper, finally. Strontium Dog, just give us something. Give us Carl Urban as Dredd in a series where he's just shooting people in the face for littering. That's superheroes. Oh, that'd be nice. Superheroes. That's what you fucking want.
And this is the Classic Nitro Review with a little side flavor of our thoughts on the cinematic universe of superhero movies.
One match out of the way.
One match down. That's the. I like this. I like this podcast because it could go anywhere. And it still could. We get steals from Frizzy Lex Luger and Arn Anderson from Halloween Havoc.
Which was a banger.
Surprisingly good from Lex. And then we go into our second match of the night. It is Diamond Dallas Page versus Mike Anus.
Anus. Here we go with the blue and black DDP. He's worn it before, but like, it's that kind of light blue and black jacket. Well, those go on to be DDP signature colors, that diamond blue and the jet black. And you'll eventually have that sweet airbrushed entrance jacket, which is just like, fuck yeah.
We are building DDP. I will say, after watching this match, I am a Mike Anus fan. I am an Anus enjoyer.
You're an Anus enjoyer. Well, I was going to say that it is one of my favorite 90s color combos, the black and blue DDP, but it'll be Anus who's black and blue by the time proceeding through tonight.
No one wants a black and blue Anus. Steve Macklin energy about Mike Anus.
Yes.
You're a fan of Steve Macklin from TNA?
From what I've seen, absolutely.
Yeah, he's got a very Steve Macklin style about him, and I like it. Well, rather...
Just rugged.
Rugged, brutal. DDP slaps Anus as they lock up Anus. His name's Anus, but we're going to call him Anus. Anus clotheslines Page to the floor. Get a near fall from DDP off of a powerbomb. And then Hall and Nash appear in the crowd, showing off their new gold. They're the new WCW Tag Team Champions. With this, Anus takes control, and he's taunting the NWO a little bit. So we've got facing...
Come get it. Come get a slice of this Anus.
Come and get my Anus. Come in... to my Anus. I challenge you to enter Anus.
I'm just saying that you've written this oddly straightforward for a Mike Anus match. Because my review goes, Anus is not to be trifled with, but DDP bangs that Anus so hard.
He really did.
As vigorously as he can, and just delivers Anus the absolute pounding of a lifetime.
Anus gets a right pounding in this match. And do you know what? Anus... got such a pounding that Hall and Nash came out to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, DDP even climbed the turnbuckle and dived straight onto Anus, making a massive splash.
It was, he really just went, it was, you know what? That Anus, so intimidating. He had to come off the top rope to get in him.
At one point after this, when the outsiders have emerged, Anus is just beginning to swallow DDP whole. But DDP managed to trick the wily Anus into a diamond cutter and puts hungry, hungry Anus to sleep for at least the next few hours.
He does. He just drops that Anus. That Anus prolapses under the diamond cutter. DDP is getting over as a face in the face of Anus.
DDP is straight up one of my favorite wrestlers from being a little kid. And he was one of the people where everybody would be watching WWF and he'd be talking about DDP and they're like, who even is that? And it's like, fuck off. Like, he's amazing. You need to see. Don't understand. But like DDP, it's just, man. I can't wait till we get to that because that's like prime fucking me screaming at a TV stuff.
And it's happening really organically as well. Like he's like, you can feel like there's a, like the diamond cutter gets a pop. And we mention this every week, but it's hard to ignore it.
Mm.
Like he gets a pop.
He gets the hand symbol over, he gets everything, and then eventually gets DDP yoga over.
He does indeed. Well done, mate. Recap of Rey indeed at Halloween Havoc comes up. Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko opened Halloween Havoc the night before for the Cruiserweight title. And we get Dean Malenko in action next against Jim Powers with Teddy Long. Powers looks like a beefed up Stevie Richards for some reason.
He really does. He looks like somebody just sort of sat on the universe, like Futurama style, sat on the box containing the universe with Stevie Richards in it. And he just sort of went and became a bit of a pan and scan, just stretched out version.
Stretched him right out. Sat ringside in an NWO shirt is AC Green of the Phoenix Suns.
He's a huge NWO fan by the looks of it.
They're facing Shaq and the Lakers on Sunday, are the Phoenix Suns. Now, throughout the night, we see AC Green getting into it with Nick Patrick at one point,
Booker T,
just shouting at the wrestlers, being very loud and proud. The Wrestling Observer writes that a local TV station was doing a segment on AC Green being a pro wrestling fan, which is why he was acting so vociferous.
So they could go, look at this idiot.
Look at this mark.
Did you notice during Dean Malenko's intro, he isn't reduced on commentary, at least not via the ring announcer, as the Iceman, which means to me, where the fuck is Glacier? Is Malenko Glacier? We've never seen Glacier's face.
What if we
aside
just give
from it, all those matches?
What if we give Malenko? That'd be amazing.
What if we make Malenko Glacier, but they're obviously played by two separate people, but you never see him in the same ring at the same time?
Oh my God.
Yeah? And then Malenko's like, hold on a second, and he jumps into a public phone box, and he jumps out after a really awkward cut where it's very visible, and he's like a whole foot and a half taller with kung fu moves.
By God, he's done it.
Yeah.
It probably is.
The most over gimmick of the 90s. And instead, they let him go to WWF.
Where he wasn't. Where he became James Bond instead. Yeah.
James Bond who wants to shag your girlfriend. That's Dean Malenko at WWF.
That's Malenko. Psychosis turns up to watch from the stage because he was meant to have a match with Dean Malenko, but he got injured, so he couldn't.
Yes, and you know that he's just coming back off injury because he's standing there in his mask and just normal street clothes, and it'll never not be weird as fuck for me. And I get that the more lucha you watch, the more you just see that sort of stuff. When you got somebody and it starts on like a close up of their face, and it's like, oh, it's Psychosis, and then it slowly pulls out. It's like Psychosis in a jumper and tracksuit bottoms. And just a pair of like Timberlands. Like, what the fuck? it's just weird because you're so used to it just being a uniform get up, I guess.
On the classic Raw review this past Monday, we had the episode of Raw that featured Mil Máscaras on the Spanish commentary. And Mil Máscaras is interviewed afterwards by JR and he says, yeah, I expect to win the Royal Rumble.
And knowing how his Rumble turns out, that's amazing.
It's great, isn't it? Oh, but he's there in a suit with his mask on.
That's so, I'm used to seeing, I've seen a lot of pictures of like El Santo in like a suit. It's like the suit, I can kind of, because suits and wrestling sort of you know, mentally go together, the press conference aspect or whatever. But it's just seeing somebody in normal street clothes, may as well have been like a Pearl Jam t-shirt. Just like a Tommy Hilfiger jacket or something, or double denim. You know, I don't think there's any way it could have been funnier.
It was good. Aggressive technicals from Dean and Jim. That would have been another time. Fat face. Dean wears down Jim with a headlock, some stomps, some knees to the guts. Jim then lands an atomic drop and some headbutts into the buckle to get back into it. Lovely scoop power slam by Powers, but Nick Patrick is arguing with Teddy Long because Teddy Long is about 2 feet off from his spot in the corner.
Yes.
That's his argument. So get in your corner.
Get in your corner. You're 2 feet away from where you're supposed to be. I do this shit by the book. You know this by now. And don't make me throw the book at you. And he's pulling a book out of his pants.
And then... but, pants aside, Dean Malenko uses this distraction to get a victory roll in and gets the three count on Jim Powers.
But Powers has a visible pin for the entire time that Patrick's back's turned. And you've got Teddy going like, turn around, you fucking idiot. There's a pin. And he's just ignoring him the entire time. If you get to 29-23 on this episode of Nitro, you've got a fella that looks like the illegitimate love child of Arn Anderson and Terry Funk holding up a WWF cap and gesturing number one with his finger. Just
fucking
straight on camera.
Fucking hell. I'd have spotted that. What a lovely man. I hope he's all right.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he's fine. Teddy Long gets into a jaw-jacking contest with Nick Patrick after the match. We'll put a pin in that because we will return to that little tete-a-tete by the end of the night.
Before we get to the next match, though, have you noticed that we haven't seen any Jim Duggaroni pizza for a bit?
We have seen very little Jim Duggaroni pizza.
Do you know why that is?
Go on.
It's because Eric's not very happy with him. WCW fans realized in the middle of 1996 that Jim Duggaroni pizza was actually the same Jim Duggaroni pizza that was caught riding with the Iron Sheik in the mid-80s in the car that had the crack and the weed and it broke kayfabe. And so he's just furious, Eric, just not having it. So he decides that he's going to rebrand Ricky Morton as Ricky Mortadella, the new Italian-American superhero, Ricky Mortadella. And that's where we are now.
So we're looking at Ricky Mortadella.
His new catchphrase is, now that's a spicy pork sausage pizza, but it never gets over as well. And by the time that they try this, obviously Jim Duggaroni pizza comes back and history is restored to its norm.
I was hoping his catchphrase would be, sausage pizza, rock and roll.
Oh, no, we make no allusions to the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, okay.
They're a dead team. Nobody cares about them. We want Italian sausage wrestlers.
So, Ricky Mortadella.
It is Mortadella. So, yeah, the new Italian-American hero, Ricky Mortadella. Okay.
And he's facing my best friend, Jeff Jarrett.
Yes.
Next.
He doesn't stand a chance of beating the Sausage Man. See? It just flows off the tongue. God. Natural. You can get behind the Sausage Man.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm forever behind my friend, Jeff Jarrett, who on My World this week described me as, quote, a blithering idiot.
Oh, really?
So, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, I think that's a good thing in America.
Okay.
To be called a blithering idiot. I think that's a good thing.
Is it like when people say, oh, that's so bad, but they really mean it's good?
Yeah. So when he said Tom Campbell is a blithering idiot, I think that means Tom's good guy.
Well, you should get him back and say something like in American speak, like Jeff Jarrett is absolutely shocking.
Jeff
Jarrett. Just appalling.
You are awful,
you
mate.
Are terrible,
you're
man.
A cunt, mate.
All right, ramping it up. I was trying to use like PG language.
Did I go too far?
God, Jeff, you stink. And he's like, you're a cunt, Jeff. You're a cunt. I know where you live, Jeff. Tom's a bit.
I thought
how much
it was
coffee
all right.
you had today?
I thought it was all right. I thought I was ramping at the right speed, but I think I missed a few leaps.
A few rungs. You know, maybe a few hundred feet on the cliff face. We were gently trying to. You just went straight to the fucking top. Nice.
So part
like
of the Batman,
like the retractive claw. You just get yourself all the way up.
That thing from North North Edition from Partridge. I think you're a dick, mate. Love you, Jeff. So Jeff Jarrett.
What, really?
Jeff Jarrett, early lead by him. But Ricky Mortadella comes back with a cross body.
You're damn right.
A cross body attempt by Jarrett goes wrong. Morton rolls through it like he does his sausage pizza for a near fall. He counters a figure four with a small package too. A small package of pepperoni that he puts on top of the sausage pizzas to add an extra bit of meaty texture.
I think ultimately what causes the Ricky Mortadella thing to fail is that essentially... you can't come up with an Italian product that fits Gibson. And that's the big thing. I think they realized that keeping them apart wasn't fair. You know, they'd have a big glass window between them in the locker room and they'd both just be like this, going like, one day we'll be tag champs again. But Gibson just, they couldn't come
Green
up with a
pepper,
gimmick. Green like the Italian flag. It's Robert Green Ribson.
Green Pepper.
Greenson.
You're right. I could see how it fell down. Sunset flip from Mortadella for a near fall. Mm. He rolls into a knee breaker by Jeff Jarrett, who then puts on the figure four and gets a tap out. And
yes.
Jeff Jarrett wins. Post-match.
Absolutely terrible.
Oh, mate.
Unbelievably bad skills.
Fucking awful. Bro. That's how it works. That was less, wasn't it?
That was it. That was about the ceiling. Yeah.
Didn't call him a cunt this time.
There's no ceiling there anymore, though. So you've got to wait for it to get...
Just blue sky now. Blue sky
thinking. It's going to start raining any second in here.
Paul White's in the crowd with a US title over his shoulder.
I'm sorry, who?
Paul White.
The Giant.
Sorry, a Legiant. The Giant.
Les Gigantes.
Les Gigantes. He's in the crowd with the US title. He's still not technically the US champ.
No,
that match ended by a countout.
So that kind of it also adds to what Six was saying earlier. So Six is like, you know, we've got the tag belts, we've got the world title, we've got the US. They've just taken the US title; it's theirs. They've just stolen it, I guess. So that's sort of it doubles down on what Six was reiterating earlier. But also, he just runs down everybody. Jarrett and WCW calls them all sort of pathetic.
Well, he says that the Horsemen didn't pass a torch to Jarrett; they passed a wet match. That was a nice
and
line.
Believe me, you. That was another one.
Believe me, you. He says the Horsemen are all scared. He promises to chokeslam Jarrett soon and ends by saying, when you go to your bed tonight, say your prayers because there's a monster under your bed.
You don't want to have a nightmare about a giant and a beanstalk, do you? In fairness, we should have done that as a pay-per-view. When we had the It's Not Hot, was the perfect time to have Hogan get knocked out and have a whole pay-per-view just be his adventure up the beanstalk. And it's a gauntlet night. It's a gauntlet night where Hogan's just dispatching jobbers, like 11 jobbers, and then he gets to the Giant. And each time, like the match ends, lights go down, another video plays on the screen. It's Hogan climbing up another rung of the. Or we just get a physical beanstalk to really knacker him.
Really?
Make him climb up a whole thing.
We've got to make
time.
Him climb up a physical beanstalk.
And then they have to quickly escort him around so he can climb up out of a trapdoor under the ring.
I always love the way that you make things slightly more complicated than they need to be. And then, if in doubt, add people with guns on turrets.
Well, you don't need guns. He's getting paid, you know? He's going to be knackered enough. You know?
He won't be able
Maybe
run.
You need guns at the bottom of the... Yeah,
fucking fence.
You need guns at the bottom of the beanstalk because he's going to refuse to go up it after a while.
So you're going to force him up with guns?
We're going to hire every scissor lift in the state as well and just throw him in a car park like 200 miles away just so he can't hire something to get himself up there easier.
Or just have some of the arena
stings,
with water.
Stings people. Yeah, no, he's not doing that either. We'll cover all the taps. No beer, no liquids, no nothing.
Everyone's just really thirsty at the venue. It's part of a thing. We are sorry. We can't offer any drinks.
You'll understand
tonight.
Later.
I can't park either. There's fucking scissor lifts in the car park.
Is that a boat attached to your car? I'm going fishing after this. Yeah, you fucking not. Get out of our. Get out. What are you planning? Boat.
We need to talk about the erratic spending at WCW.
It's a whole chapter in Guy Evans Nitro, the boat period. The promotion at sea.
For a year, WCW attempted sea-based programming.
It was WCW, see?
Fuck.
We got to do it.
We should end this podcast there. WCW.
Oh, it's going to be a long one today. If you can't tell already.
Poor Jeff Jarrett calls White down for a fight, but White's already gone. Giant's already gone, rather. He says he's got a challenge for Hulk Hogan. Mm. He says the walls will crumble. WCW has to unite. Jarrett says he will be the one to unite WCW and bring Hogan down. Are we really teasing a Hogan-Jarrett match in 96?
Yeah.
Come on!
Get it done.
Get it done!
Hogan's going to ultimately have a much more horrible professional relationship with Jeff Jarrett. I don't think, on a personal, just in terms of in front of the camera, the fucking laying down. I mean, that's the ultimate takeaway of that. Back and forth, eventually. But let's just do it now, yeah!
Let's do it now!
Yeah.
Would love to, has Jeff done it on My World where he's talked about this? Because I'd be fascinated to know if like they were actually going to do Hogan Jarrett or whether this is just filling us with false hope.
Well, I think it's one of those things where you're bringing in people as well from other companies where it is, you know, well, I see us using this person in a slightly different position. I see this person as an uppercarder. I see this person as a world champion. They never will or they won't because of whatever stupid reason. So you've got to try and you've got to test the waters with grand sweeping statements like that because 100%. If the crowd goes, yeah, or if the crowd goes, crickets, like, you know immediately, okay, maybe we can't build to that now or we can't build to that ever or X, Y, Z.
The big thing they've got to do as well as listen to the crowd and gauge it there is they've got to change Jarrett's fucking theme music. It sounds like the fucking
Godwin. It needs
Godwin
to be a lot
theme.
More Brie-woo-y. At the same time, I think you need to keep it the same forever. He shouldn't be allowed to ever change his music again.
Fucking hell.
Just.
And paid of debt.
Plinky chicken picking.
It is just chicken picking and fucking turkey in the straw bullshit. Like, we need.
Just fucking poker
I'm
going
to get you, Hogan! Like, oh. Just sod that. High Voltage! They are facing the amazing French Canadians.
Les Frenchy Boys.
Which,
what a fucking team, by the way. Jacques Rougeau and PCO.
Fuck yeah. And PCO looking more like PCO.
Yeah.
Every time I see him. High Voltage interrupted.
Well, he's looking a bit more like a pirate that has a cruise ship, actually.
Oh.
But, you know, we'll get there.
Don't threaten me with a good time. High Voltage interrupted the Canadian national anthem, and they start hot. We then, during the match, hand over to Bischoff, Heenan, and Mike today for hour two as the French Canadians take control.
First thing out of Bischoff's mouth is disappointment as he says that Randy Savage was supposed to be here, but he's not here tonight.
Well, thanks for... But he does reassure us that we will hear...
You are going to hear what was missed at the end of that pay-per-view, lads. Just hold on a bit longer. You're going to hear it. It's hour two.
That has been a key theme throughout the show tonight, that by the end of the night, we're going to see what Piper said when the cameras went off at Halloween Havoc.
You damn Skippy.
It's a key point. USA chances Robbie Rage calls for the tag, but the Nasty Boys appear and they attack High Voltage. They give him a double powerbomb. Never knew the Nasties had a finisher.
Did you see that, Terry? Did you see what we did, Terry? Look, we're beating them up, Terry. Can we be in the NWO now, please?
It was quite the opposite nature to that because as we last saw, Sags and Knobs, they got beaten up by the NWO. Tonight, they call out Hogan for lying to him, to both of them, and they say, we might not be liked, we might not be wanted, but we are nasty.
We were nasty before WCW was a thing. We were nasty before, we were nasty when we were born.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Knobs tells the NWO, let's get ready to rumble.
Which nice lawsuit there.
I was putting voice in the post, Knobs, from Michael Buffer.
Mr. Buffer is a... notoriously protective over his catchphrase.
He is very protective over his
catchphrase. You've got to be careful with it. You can't say it. You get sued.
You're in trouble.
Well, you can say it. You just can't say it with his inflection.
Well, I wonder whether because they reference it's his catchphrase.
Nope. Sue.
Sue him anyway.
Sue the Nasty Boys. It. They've got deep pockets. They were huge fans of Hogan and friends of him in the 80s. Got to be billionaires.
So at the moment, in terms of the united force against NWO, it's Jeff Jarrett and the Nasty Boys.
But the Nasty Boys have already told us that you can't really count on them for anything because they're wild brawlers. They're more like a more unhinged Legion of Doom, I guess. Whereas Legion of Doom, I think you could say, hey, we need you guys to just keep wrecking shit, but do it on our side. They'd be like, all right, but the Nasties, I feel, can be coaxed away mid-match, mid-like brawl because something is slightly more brawly and they're like, oh, we just want to be the craziest brawlers, so we'll just join whatever side affiliates with the brawly nature.
We'll just be whatever you want us to be.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graffiti is out next. He's facing Rey Mysterio Jr.
Big Jimmy G.
So Jimmy Graffiti is formerly one of the heavenly bodies that isn't Tom Pritchard. In a strange gimmick
Jimmy
change.
Jimmy Del Rey.
That's Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey. Now, Mysterio says down the camera that he got his mask back, and now he wants his title from Dean Malenko.
Yes.
Easiness. I like the start of this. Rey is on the ropes, posing to the crowd. Jimmy Graffiti sneaks up. Electric chair drop.
Yeah, Jimmy gets some good offense in this one.
Jimmy looks great
throughout this, except for if you actually look at him, then he looks like he's come off the back of a flea market.
He looks like a bin fire.
It's weird. He does look like he's been out painting the roads and fallen into the paint pot a bit.
Like he's just covered in yellow streaks and like it's weird.
He looks like he's dressed as Public Enemy, but by memory.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way to describe it.
Yeah.
He hasn't used a picture for reference.
He's like the unofficial third member of Public Enemy.
It's a weird
he's like
look.
The private nuisance.
The private.
Which sounds so much. The private nuisance.
Private nuisance. WCW. Private nuisance. So if we don't win a Sony for this week's podcast...
We better, otherwise Mean Gene's wanking's going to intensify throughout 2024. When's the Sony Awards?
Soon, I hope, because we need a Sony
Award.
Fuck
it, we're going to ramp it up. We're ramping it up.
We're winning a Sony for this. We're winning a Sony. I'm livid if we don't.
If I can get a Sony Award for talking about Mean Gene's right-hand habits throughout the 90s, I'll be buzzing.
Yeah, me too, mate. Me too. Graffiti goes for a crossbody, gets drop-kicked in the guts by Rey Mysterio. We get a Rana to the outside by Rey. Jimmy coming back with a somersault sent on to get back into it. But Rey eventually wins with a springboard Rana. What a wonderful little match.
Mm. It's genuinely like I think I'd forgot completely about Jimmy Graffiti. And then he just has a show like this, and it is just like, I mean, even at the time, he's dressed like a dweeb. It's like, come on, guys. Like, he's sprayed, like, who's going to spray WCW on their own gear? Like, just no, stop it. Just, oh, let him organically just dress like a mentalist. Get him out there. Just do whatever he wants. Get him spray painting people. Oh, you can't do that. His name's Graffiti. Why is his name Graffiti if he can't use spray paint? Because he can't use spray paint because fucking Hogan uses spray paint. So call him like a Jimmy Face Puncher or something. Jimmy backflips. Like Jimmy fucking Jimmy chess checks mix. Like anything.
Jimmy digression.
Just give him something he can use.
Change it every week.
Jimmy the mechanic, and he just comes out with a wrench and just beats the shit out of people.
Jimmy the dentist. Comes out with a wrench and beats the shit out of people.
Jimmy the Gigolo, and we pretend his Heavenly Bodies run didn't happen.
And then he comes out with a wrench and beats the shit out of people. NWO t-shirt commercial.
Jimmy Freeman, give him a fucking crowbar. Cardboard orange and black HEV suit. Like Max Moon.
Jimmy Page just sticking with Robert Plant.
Yeah.
NWO t-shirt commercial, but now there's an NWO hat.
1895.
Yeah, it's the whole advert as before, but they just go, and also there's a hat, 1895.
Yeah, literally. Oh,
get yourself a hat, you cowards. Let's cut to Lee Marshall. We have the still graphic of Lee Marshall on his big red phone.
It may be completely silent, but I'm on the road. You can trust me. I'm Tony the Tiger.
He's in Grand Rapids ahead of Nitro next week.
Talking to all the great people here at Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's the same thing every week. Talking to all the great people here in Wichita, Kansas. Talking to all the great people here in upstate New York.
And all they're talking about is, where can I get tickets to Nitro? No, they're not.
Doesn't this get immediately followed with them going, how do you get free tickets for next week's Nitro? Find out in a second.
Find out in a second. And then he goes, well, anyway, I've got to go, guys. I'm at a Nitro Halloween party and someone's turned up in a weasel suit. Bye. Right. You know that scene from The Simpsons where Lenny's house opens up? And he's just sat there on a table eating out of a tin.
Don't let anybody know how I live.
That's Lee Marshall.
It's gotta be like you think they'd pipe in like fucking bar noise or something behind him. Like, but no, it's just like perfectly crisp, clean line. Well, I'm surrounded by a load of WCW fans here in Pontiac, Michigan, and they cannot wait for 6 weeks' time. 6 weeks' time, Nitro is gonna be in Pontiac. We don't have any matches announced. There's nothing on the card. And the last time we were here, we fucked him over by not delivering a main event. But they are very, very excited. And it's just silence. You'd think you'd have at least like, whoa, or like buy some like fucking stock audio pack. You'd think the Turner Network has literally a vault full of this shit.
All I can think about is Lee Marshall just being sat on his own in his little bed sit in the dark.
Yeah.
On the phone going, well, I'm having a great time. Oh, get off me. Oh, all these lovely friends around me. Well, I've got to go. Bye. And then just sobbing.
It turns into monkey dust. It's just like fucking.
Fuck yeah.
Is it just slowly pulling out? And he just looks at like a little bag of like drugs and he's like, And you just don't know what he's going to choose to do, and then it fades and it just fades to black. Just a sad existence.
He breaks up the monotony by going to his logo and goes, pack of cheese and onion and a pint of bitter. There we go. Not serve you anymore, mate.
Local spoons for breakfast. And he's like, can I get some cereal? What you got? And they're like, oh, we got cornflakes. We've got rice. You not got any Frosties? They're great. And the guy just looks at him like, no. We've got fucking cornflakes.
No, Lee, you ask us every day.
Stop coming in here, Lee. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. And it's not good for the Kellogg's Corporation. Okay?
God bless. Lee. God bless him. I'm really sad for him. I feel really sad for Lee Marshall.
Now, if you want a breakfast wrap, Lee, we can sort that out for you. Breakfast's on till 11:30, son.
Okay, that'd be great. Hang on 1 second, I'll make a phone call. Well, here I am having a great time in New Jersey.
He's tugging on the guy and going like, come on, come on, say something. Shout something. Shout something about Hulk Hogan. And the guy's just like, leave me alone.
Get off me. Get out.
You're barred.
Poor Lee. AC Green is giving some grief to Nick Patrick, challenging him to a fight. Hang on, mate, you're wearing an NWO t-shirt. Which side are you on, dickhead?
Well, no, he's just trying to help Nick Patrick prove that he's not a member of the NWO.
By fighting him?
Yeah.
Ah.
Kick seven shades of shit out of him. How can he possibly be the NWO referee? He let an NWO fan beat him up.
AC Green is playing 4D checkers.
He is.
Gosh darn it. Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Benoit next. This is a fascinating bit of business because Eddie is Eddie's entering the match with a rib injury. Mm-hmm. He got his ribs hurt during his match last night. And as a result, the match wasn't very good because he was hurt. But he's wrestling tonight, all taped up.
Yep. And Benoit's also taped up as well. Yeah. Dealing his own battery of injuries. So it's both men not at 100%. But both men very much having a great encounter here. And as well, it's difficult to talk about now, obviously, given everything that happened. But this is sort of, it's a style that goes on to be synonymous with Benoit. It's just the viciousness that's on display throughout this. Mm. Like just tearing away Eddie's gear and just really going after the ribs. It's the sort of stuff you won't see fully being celebrated, I think, in the industry until you've got like your angles, your Benoit's at the level they're at in a few years time. But it's like, man, like that kind of vicious aggression is like a nice shift that starts coming in because it's just been power guys for so long. To see actual submission based stuff again is great.
It's an aggressive style from both of them, but it's a really weird match because like they're hitting each other with real heavy strikes.
Yes.
But they're both in agony because they're both working hurt. Benoit's pulling at the singlet of Eddie Guerrero to expose the taped area. He's putting abdominal stretches on, which obviously hurt more because his ribs are fucked. We see chops and abdominal stretches have extra emphasis this evening because of that. Guerrero fires up briefly but crumbles in pain.
Yes.
It's a really fascinating match from these two. We see Eddie land a running elbow smash at one point. The ref's counting both men down. Woman gets onto the apron to distract Nick Patrick. Mongo then gets into the ring, goes to hit Eddie over the head, and Eddie puts his hands up to protect himself.
Yeah.
So Eddie fucking cracks him with it in the guts.
Yeah, he gets cracked in the guts, doesn't he? Right in his ribs.
And then, so Benoit just rolls over and pins him after three.
Yeah,
very, very interesting match.
So, Mongo and Debbie came out from the NFL. Mongo is going into Canton Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. I can't remember if we mentioned that the other day.
We mentioned it during the watch along.
Going to the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Matt Hurst
Pro
Wrestling in the Pro NFL Football Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. I can't wait for him to get his, he'll get like a yellow blazer. I can't wait for Mongo to get his blazer. But also, you had Kevin Sullivan pop up during the
Edmonds. Yes, of course we did.
And there's a pick and pick, and he basically goes, he like waxes lyrical in a bit of nonsense that you'd expect to hear from someone like a Sullivan, but he's in street clothes, so it's funny. But he essentially says, woman was the ultimate destruction of mankind. So Sullivan has found Paul. We need to get him away from the incels. get him onto like Reddit, you know, just put him somewhere slightly less less 4chan-y.
But the hint, the intonation in Kevin Sullivan is that something sinister about woman is going to be revealed soon.
Well, I mean, it was, of course, Sullivan and the Dungeon beat down Benoit as well to cause the injuries that he currently is wrestling with. So there's been a bit of a breakdown going on within that camp, and we're going to learn about it in the coming weeks.
Tony Schiavone interviews Nick Patrick as he's heading to the back, but before Nick Patrick can utter any words about his current conduct, Nick's attorney steps in.
The sassiest attorney in the world.
Oh my God.
I fucking love him.
The sassiest cat. The attorney says that his authority, Nick Patrick's authority, was questioned last night and he was assaulted by Chris Jericho.
I'm going to sue every cunt going.
Basically said that. Out comes Jericho to accuse Nick Patrick of faking his neck injury and being a paid employee of the NWO, to which the attorney asks Jericho if he has anger issues, maybe unresolved trauma from being a child. And this then brings out Teddy Long.
Tedford Long.
And Teddy says, if it wasn't for this attorney's degree, he'd be washing car windows. Teddy says Nick Patrick is trying to hold Jericho back, and the attorney accuses Teddy of slander. You know what we call that? I'll put it in real basic terms so even you can understand it, Teddy Long. We call that slander.
And that means, and then music comes in and drowns out all the legalese. And I love that bit. Just kind of good.
And what I mean is when you say something, to somebody, mic just fades down. Wide shot.
We gotta go. They're just squabbling as they end. What a little MVP of the week.
Yeah, man.
Nick Patrick's attorney.
I want to know who he is.
I want a podcast where I just talk to fucking people that are ancillary characters in wrestling. That's all I want. Bring me a list of ancillary characters. Let's talk to them.
That's a lovely idea. I did try and find who this was. I've had no luck this week, but I will continue.
How was your cup of coffee in the big leagues, champ?
I like that. I like the idea of you interviewing ancillary characters.
Why didn't you just take the belt? Every week. Why don't you just knock him out, take the belt?
You're talking kayfabe with them. Why didn't you just beat him up?
You stood there, taking all that shit from Jericho. Why didn't you sue him? I would have known if you'd sued him, because it would have been in the Observer and checks notes. It's not in the Observer. Was it slander? I think this constitutes slander. I just spoke to a lawyer. He's like, I'm just an actor. I don't give a shit. What do you mean you're just an actor? You're a lawyer.
Who would be an ultimate get as an ancillary character podcast interview?
I genuinely don't know. I'd love to talk to security woman who grabbed Gronk.
Yeah.
That's very good.
There's like so many people. Like, they appear like once and disappear forever. Like that's the sort of shit that I'd love to do. Either that or talk to ex-wrestlers about their life after wrestling and not really mention wrestling until the very end.
I love doing podcasts where you don't talk about wrestling.
Yeah, well, it shows.
Yeah, it's great.
That's why you get me in here every week.
Yes, exactly.
Our bollocks and conspiracy theories.
Everyone can talk about wrestling. It's true, though. Everyone talks about wrestling. So it's nice. I find whenever I do interviews, some of the best conversation comes about the non-wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
Because you've heard all the wrestling questions.
How were your cornflakes? I wanted fucking Frosties. All right, calm down.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
Get out of my Wetherspoons, all right, freak. I used to be Tony the Tiger. Get out. I don't care.
Anyway, we move on. Final match, our main event of the evening. We've still got the footage from Piper to come, don't worry.
That's the real main event.
That is the real
for all
main
you
event.
MVPs out there.
Eric Bischoff is on commentary with Bobby Heenan and Mike Tenay as Lex Luger comes to the ring. And Bischoff says Luger is finally the guy that WCW always wanted him to be. I feel like there's some deeper truth to that line.
Well,
than even we know.
I think so, but he's wearing a ponytail tonight, so he's probably going to be crap.
We'll find out. It's Lex Luger facing Booker T in one-on-one action. We get a picture-in-picture with Colonel Parker, who says, nah, 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 and nothing else. I know. He reassures the world that there are no problems between Harlem Heat, Parker, and Sherry.
Because Booker T's only out with Sherry tonight rather than being out with Stevie Ray and the Colonel as well. And commentary kind of go, oh, there's some trouble in paradise with Harlem Heat and the Colonel.
Eric Bischoff thanks the MGM Grand for Halloween Havoc, as well as Slim Jim and Levi Strauss, the inventor of jeans, and several movie theories.
Nice.
But I don't think him particularly, more the company, because I think Levi Strauss would have been 109 if he was at this Nitro. Lex overpowers Booker T, while Sherry George acts with AC Green of the Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
He's in the ANFL.
He is stood up. He's not in the NFL. He's in the ANBA.
Sorry, the ANBA.
I believe the Suns are a basketball team.
They are indeed. Yeah. I got that wrong. My bad. ANBA.
And it was like, and the Coyotes. And I was like, what the fuck? And like, checked. I was like, oh, they're a thing. They've been a thing for a very long time. It's like, hockey is just like alien to me. But like, oh, of course, here's a team that's been going for like 100 years. And I'm like, I never once heard anybody mention that team before, ever. That's really bizarre. ANHA.
The Stevenage Bumberjacks. Did you not know them?
Oh, God, yeah.
Around forever.
Booker Based in Virginia.
the Virginia
Virgins.
Dentals. Dentists. Virginia.
The Virginia dentists.
The Virginia. Virginia dentists. Go dentists.
Go. Everybody does a celebratory. At the end of every quarter, they do a big swill and floss their teeth. There's just a big sink in front of every seat that you're supposed to just spit as much as you can into.
Oh, fuck.
And then one lucky celebrity gets to take all that spit in a big hose and spray it all over the losing team. And then they get stuck to the ice. And now you're part of our team now.
And if they try and leave?
Then you just run over them with the Zamboni. You make them part of the ice.
If they escape the Zamboni?
I don't think they're going to escape the Zamboni.
I was going to say gun turrets.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a given.
That's a given.
Somebody's got to keep the crowd and players in line. You just need turrets in every corner. Just, you know, it marks the corners very clearly in the play area as well.
I mean, marks on the grass would do the same job as opposed to gun turrets.
I think we have like water sprinklers. Mm. We have those, but instead of it kind of popping and going, it's just bullets. It's bang, 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 bang. So that's like, you just got to be careful. If you are going to try and escape, you do the threatening, like click the button and it goes, and up they pop. It's like, just let the Zamboni take you or join the team. Those are your options.
Cool. Join the team or die by Zamboni.
Yeah.
Or die by Gunter.
And that's how you get the best Coyotes hockey team. But they didn't do it. They didn't listen to me. Wrote it off as the ravings of a mad 5-year-old.
Scum. Subhuman scum.
Subhuman scum.
Oh man,
scum.
It's just such a quotable show.
It's so quotable.
Scum, subhuman scum.
Lex overpowers Booker. Booker takes control going into the break, but powering up after the break is, oh boy, Lex. An axe kick gets a 2, and Luger dodges a Harlem sidekick, and he goes to put the rack onto Booker, but puts him down because he's been distracted. Because back in the crowd is Sting,
and it's really annoying. Because at this point of the match, Luger has lost his hairband and he's actually getting more exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all breaks down and he literally stands there and goes like, huh? And then, really awkwardly, it cuts to Sting, I think too early, and Sting just sort of emerges really quickly as if he has been stood there the whole time. And then it's like Luger goes, I'm going to get you, Steve. And he just fucks off. He just leaves the main event to Nitro.
He runs.
He doesn't like go, this is what I got to fucking do to you, and puts Booker away. He just goes, ah! And then just starts shaking his head mentally, running through the crowd, getting loads of pats on the back probably. And then Sting's already fucked off, past the popcorn stand. Probably got all the time in the world to get some nachos on the way back to the rafters.
Well, Sting waits for Lex to get about halfway towards him.
Yeah.
And then Sting very calmly turns around and just walks off.
Yeah, he just goes, yeah.
Sting at this point is a fucking cat.
Yeah.
Right? He's stood up in the rafters just staring. And then when someone talks to him, he wanders off.
And at the end of every show, he's sat by the door and it's like, come on, do you want it in or out?
You coming in
or out?
You go
in or out?
Just starts licking his balls. You coming in?
Method actors, man.
Booker wins by count out in what is our main event. And Sting's loyalty or lack thereof remains in question.
Main event, my ass. The real main event's coming up, and it's tape. It's loads of tape.
Oh, that's what we've been promised.
It's the unaired footage where Roddy Piper goes off on Hogan and calls him an absolute cuck or something.
Eric Bischoff starts this off by saying, Piper asked WCW for 5 minutes to confront Hogan. We said yes to 5 minutes.
We told him to get out there and say the shit he needs to say and everything will be hunky-dory. But Roddy Piper wouldn't listen to us.
But we now get the full Hogan Piper promo from Halloween Havoc. So
with a bit that you miss at the very beginning. It's already kicking off well.
Piper doesn't represent WCW, but he's as big an icon as Hogan is. Hang on, this seems like we heard this at the show.
Yeah, I'm fairly sure I heard that bit.
Hogan keeps trying to get the interview back on track and Piper keeps going off.
Yeah.
Piper says he's the only guy that Hogan's never been able to beat.
And Hogan looks really fucking angry by this point because he's realizing that, like, oh God, I'm Hulk Hogan and I'm a joke.
Hogan tries to get to the good part and every time Piper goes, no, we're not at that bit yet. Just come back in the script.
But it genuinely feels like he's just stood there going, we're not fucking going there first. Like, we're going to go through what I need to say first.
We need to say all my lines.
This isn't getting you over. This is my fucking moment. And you're going to listen to it. And every time he tries to jump in, at one point he's like, will you just shut up, man?
Yeah.
Like, just fucking angry at him, clearly. And then they show you all of it and it's like, we're getting to the juicy bit. We're getting to the good bit. We're getting to the... Fades down.
Yeah.
you're not going to fucking see what we promised you. We're going to have Hogan do a promo now instead, where he can protect whatever he says, because clearly Piper said something we don't want to wear. But we're going to keep trying to get you the footage before the end of the show. We're going to show you it. Don't you worry.
Here's the ultimate slap in the face. It's not that they didn't play the bit that we didn't hear. They actually played less of the interview than they did last night.
Like the whole thing, uncut, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, we did say it'll be uncut, but we had to cut a bit off the start. And it's like, it's okay. So immediately, we've lost the opening bump back and forward and the reaction of Piper. Why? Did Jim Powers need to go that 10 minutes? No, he didn't. You wouldn't usually put Jim Powers in a match. What are you doing? You're fucking stalling for time.
But you know what? They had to cut it. They had to cut it because Hogan's coming out to do a promo. So obviously what Hogan's going to say is of great importance to the story. So out he comes in his pomp with Ted DiBiase and the Giant. Hogan gets into the ring and calls himself the John Wayne of the 90s, which is a great phrase that is dated on two fronts. He says he and the NWO have come through for WCW, saying that they are the superior body in the wrestling world of organizations world. He tells Savage that he has nothing but the utmost respect for him, but he couldn't get the job done. Savage then Hogan then promises to take real good care of Miss Elizabeth. Does
this with his hands.
The hourglass woman thing.
It's wastes. I'm going to take care of her, Randy.
Yeah.
Shagging and that.
Sex. Hogan then addresses Roddy Piper and lies about what Piper said.
Yeah.
And says, Piper said last night that he thought I was the best ever and I saw fear in Piper's eyes.
He actually pissed himself in the ring, everybody. You can go back and buy the pay-per-view replay tomorrow and verify this for yourself. There is urine there. He is scared of the Hulkster, and it's not Hulkster looking worried and looking for the fucking exit every single time that he raises the microphone. No, no. It's Rowdy Roddy Piper, famed talking coward. Rowdy Roddy Piper.
And then Ted DiBiase takes the mic and goes, well, that's it from us. We're off to go and have a party, but here's what you're paid to see. And then Hogan does his hot dogging and grandstanding. Yeah. And Bishop apologizes for not giving us the
while
footage.
While cackling and going, that's not what happened at all. Anyway, sorry, we can't show you the footage. Bye.
Fucking hell.
We're out of time, folks. Fuck you.
All night. They told us we'd see what we didn't see, and they went, no, you fucking won't. That is bait and switch, basic bitch bullshit.
But what was it up against on this night?
In terms of Raw from this night,
yeah.
Let's have a little look-see. Because
if we have Raw from this night,
right,
is like stacked, then I get it's being deceptive to get people to hang on.
They are up against British Bulldog versus Shawn Michaels.
Which isn't really event. It's not really going to be hot even when they run that as a full blown feud the year after, right?
The only thing that you've got Steve Austin running around backstage, which might have been a bit of a draw.
Oh, he's a nobody. Fucking no, he's not the wrestler of the night. He's Hulk Hogan, is he? Just told us
this was the night as well where we had a Brett and Austin promo back and forth, picture in picture, with Austin in the WWF studios, and then Austin loses his mind and destroys like production people and the stage setup and all that stuff. And then he's just backstage just trashing the place throughout the night. They keep cutting to Austin just being a dick until he gets arrested. So that's what they're up against.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, if I were Bischoff, I wouldn't have reprogrammed what I was going to do.
It's not like it's like a special week or anything. It's kind of your standard week.
Yeah,
right?
It's a very standard
it's
week.
Weird. I get, you want the ratings pop, right?
Unless they just...
actually ran out of time. Maybe they were going to show it.
Maybe. Badly planned. Half-hearted, half-witted.
I'm sure Eric Bischoff remembers it as, I don't really remember.
I don't really remember.
I don't really remember. It was so long ago, guys.
And for the latest wrestling news throughout the week, you can check out goldaholic.com. He's at the Sam Driver. I'm at the Tom Gamble. Together we're at goldaholic. We ran out of time, you dicks.
We'll show you next week. Gene might be back. We can talk.
mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.